host, Bayan Jabber.
And I'm Omar Torres.
We are broadcasting from the University of New Mexico, KUNM 89.9 FM, news and music that connect.
Generation Justice is a multimedia project aimed at youth between the ages of 13 and 25 to create media that is committed to inspiring social change.
With March being Women's History Month, tonight's show features phenomenal New Mexican women who have written their own stories for the production Hembras de Pluma.
Hembras de Pluma means feathered women, or women wielding the pen. We will have the chance to speak with these passionate storytellers and hear some of their work in studio.
The stories told by each artist are in the forms of monologues, poetry, and short plays. Their stories speak to their experiences in childhood, family, loss, relationships, love,
puberty, aging, grief, joy, and black liquid eyeliner. They will be performing at the National Hispanic Cultural Center from March 20th through the 23rd, March 28th through the 30th at 7:30 p.m. They will also have Sunday matinees at 2 p.m.
We are excited to hear from our guests. And to kick off our show, here's a song selected by Benishi Albert from Hembras de Pluma. The song is called Mi Canto by Cultura Fuerte.
In the summer of 2013, Hembras de Pluma was created to write and perform their stories as a way to honor their histories, ancestors, families, and themselves.
We are here in the studio with Benishi Albert, Monica Rodriguez, and Andrea Serrano from Hembras de Pluma.
Thank you all for coming out this evening, and welcome to Generation Justice.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks
here.
For having us.
Could you introduce yourselves to our Generation Justice family and explain how you got involved in this art of storytelling?
My name is Benishi Albert. I am Yuchi and Chippewa, and while I did grow up in a family of artists, I would say getting involved in this particular medium is because I like to talk. telling stories about my experience, our experience, is important to me, and just had a wonderful opportunity to join a group of dynamic women who also like that love of telling stories.
My name is Andrea Serrano, and I am from here, from Albuquerque. I'm a 10th generation New Mexican, at least, is what I like to say. My dad is from northern New Mexico, and my mom is from the East Mountains. And, you know, there's always been that element of storytelling in my family and among community. I actually started writing and performing poetry about 20 years ago, and I've been doing that for a really long time. I love it. I really love performing, but I've never done a staged production before where I've actually, you know, pushing myself out there to act. And it's so exciting to be a part of this production and to feel challenged but also feel very safe and nurtured in that. Yeah. So it's really exciting, and it's something that is, I thought, would be terrifying, but instead has been just an amazing experience so far.
Awesome.
I'm Monica Rodriguez, and I grew up in the beautiful Española Valley. My parents were both teachers. My dad was a musician, so there was always art in our home, and it was always part of what I knew growing up. When I moved to Albuquerque 15 years ago, I got involved in community theater, and I've been doing community theater ever since, and had an opportunity to work with La Compañía when they were up and running, Matraca Inc., Teatro Taos, Teatro Nuevo México, the Vortex Theater. And then about 2 summers ago, I did a show called La Casa de Bernarda Alba, written by Federico Garcia. And it was an all-Spanish play, but we did it in Spanish and English, and I had an opportunity to meet all the women in that cast, and that's how I got into this group. And we really thought it was important to write down our own stories. Although a lot of us had done community theater here in Albuquerque and other places, there wasn't a forum for us to do that. So this was important to us. And through that, just meeting and talking, we thought it'd be really important to write those stories down. Stories we'd already been telling each other as we got together and around each other's kitchen table, or when we'd see each other, we'd already were telling these stories to one another.
Awesome. Here at Generation Justice, we are firm believers in using media as a platform. So obviously yours is a theater, right? But it's still kind of media. You guys are portraying actors and actresses and stuff like that. So I think that's pretty cool. And we like to give others the ability to share their voice. So thank you for being with us.
That being said, could you tell us about the production and explain the significance of women of color sharing their own stories?
Definitely. Again, this is Andrea. And, you know, it's really interesting to think about these nine stories when I step away from it, because we've been reading them together for so long and practicing and then rehearsing, editing. So to step back and really look at the significance of these nine stories, I think is something that's really powerful. And it's powerful in that this is a show that is written, produced, directed, portrayed completely by women of color, people who identify as women of color, people who live as women of color. And so I think that in a lot of ways, the importance of this for us is that we're telling our own stories. No one came in and interviewed us and then sort of fit, you know, the story into this framework of what they thought it should be. No one came in and told us, oh, no, you shouldn't tell it that way. You should tell it this way. Mm-hmm. Really, this process has been our own stories, our way, on our terms. And, you know, even though there was editing and there's been direction and lots of suggestions that we've given to each other, it still feels like such a homegrown process. And it's our process. It's about us creating our own venue. It's about us taking control of our own stories and really speaking truth to power. And I think that's what's been really powerful about this process with Hembras. And, you know, women have been telling their stories for years. We tell each other our stories. We've been doing this for years. And like Monica said, you know, we told each other our stories enough times that finally, you know, this decision came of let's write them down and see what happens. And, you know, what happened was now we have this production that's starting and it opens on Thursday night. And, you know, to see it so close, it's right here. It's coming really fast. It's so funny to think about when we first started back in August. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, that's great that you said that. Great segue into my next question, because I was wondering, so how was that process of production? How was it put together? When did you guys decide?
Sure. We had been talking a lot about how there's a lot of great theater in Albuquerque, and we've all been had an opportunity to be a part of that. But there never was a forum to tell a story about a girl that grew up in Española, and her parents are very smart, but maybe they talk a little funny. There wasn't anywhere to do that. And so after talking to each other about how there wasn't pieces for us to try out for anymore that weren't stereotyped or weren't what we wanted to say, we said, well, we have the talent for that. We know how to put on a show. We've put on shows. Why don't we just write our own show? And as ludicrous as that seemed at the time, we all were for it. We thought, you know what, that's absolutely right. I have something I wanted to share with people. And all of us have a different story. There's nine different stories, 10 minutes each. They all tell a different story, but there are stories. And so that's how we started down that journey. First, because there wasn't a forum for it. So we thought, we'll just create one ourselves.
Yeah, that's really great. Anybody else have
I mean, I think for me, this has been Ishii. As a Native person, you know, it's oftentimes whenever there are spaces to have stories about Native people, right, they're like old, like period stories, right? And it doesn't allow us to be people today, contemporary living beings today with today problems and today issues. And that's why this part of the storytelling was very important to me, to be like, all right, I'm going to portray a person that is alive and living and being today, with like real time issues and problems. And and also having been able to share those stories and similarities to those stories with other women of color has just been not only like exciting for the performance part of it, but it's been empowering for the sharing part of it and the creating part of it. Like the process of creating these stories has been enriching and empowering to me. Be like, all right, well, yeah, I have something to say and I have a venue to say it.
Definitely. I think that's pretty cool that all you guys got together and you're like, well, let's do it. All right, let's go.
With such diverse backgrounds and experiences, I can't wait to hear some of your art.
With that, Benishi, could you give us a sample of what people are going to hear at the show and the background story behind the piece that you're going to give?
So I have a piece called Plum Bushes, and it's about a young girl and her everyday living, and her living with some very adult situations. So... I took care of those two lost souls. They each had hurt, and they knew how to hurt each other. He cried because Mama didn't love him the way someone else had loved him long ago, that someone who stole his heart and took his baby. He hadn't seen her, seen his baby since she was tiny, and she was 5 now. Mama, she had hurt too. She stayed too long in a place that she didn't want to be because her son, my brother, was taken from her. And when she cried for her baby, this man consoled her. These two lost souls comforted each other over babies they missed. And whenever they missed those babies, they drank too much. And whenever they drank too much, their love was their love was combustible. They had this terrible cycle of loving and hurting each other. Baby, let me take you to town. Dress real nice. We'll go to dinner. Tonight you are my queen. What do you know of queens? You've never even been off of this reservation. You will always be in this tired little town, and you can bet there will never be a queen to come through here. But the next day, their roles would be reversed. Baby, I'm gonna make you a ribbon shirt. It's gonna be the fanciest shirt to ever be worn around here. People are gonna know your name. Damn, woman, what makes you think I'm gonna wear anything that you make? You might sell those shirts to those stupid tired tourist gift shops, but that don't mean I'm gonna wear one. I was invisible most of those times. I would just sit and read and listen to them be sweet or mean to each other. Most days I saw more than I ever wanted to see.
Wow, that was definitely a very powerful piece, and it leaves me wondering what's next in that piece. And our next music selection is Sisters by a Tribe Called Red. You're listening to Generation Justice on KUNM, and we are here in the studio with the dynamic artists from Hembras de Pluma.
We just heard a very powerful piece from Benishi, and I just want to say that was awesome.
Thank you.
I really liked it. Monica, what do you hope the audience will take away when they leave your show? And if anybody else wants to add in, they could.
I think it's just really important for people to come out and support community theater, especially stuff that is independent and written, directed, and produced by the 9 women that we have in our Hembras de Pluma. But also, I think everyone will come away with something that they identify with. Mine's about my mom, and I think everybody has a mom like mine. But every single piece is different, and every single person in the audience probably will identify with someone, and they know that someone's hurting them, or how they first learned how to put on makeup. Everybody's gonna come away with something about their childhood, their experience, their growth, that they can also think that it was part of them too.
Anybody else want to add?
I mean, I think that this is Benishi. I think the empowering part of that is as people can relate to these stories to themselves, they may find themselves in a place of like, yeah, I had that experience, but I also have this experience. And what does it mean then to share that experience with other people? And could somebody like benefit from that, or could they relate to that also? It gives people a sense of that what their experience is, it can and also be important to other people. And may, you know, impact people in a way that they might want to do something different or have something be different. You know, surely that piece I did, you know, was about a young girl really struggling with how to deal with that. Now, I don't have any sort of moral teaching with that, but somebody may hear that and be like, okay, I might be able to do something different because I can relate to that.
I think it's also just really important that people walk away knowing that these stories are true, that we, you know, these aren't fictional pieces that we wrote. These are stories that come from our own experiences. And while we write them very poetically, or we write, you know, we have staged them in a way that's very artistic, these stories are rooted in truth. And, you know, I think that people need to understand that, you know, even though they're our own stories, we've created these characters. Vali Rivera, who is one of the people who's part of the show, you know, told us the other night, she's a very seasoned director and actor, performer, amazing. And she said to us, cry it out, let it out, let these characters, you know, flow through you, and the pieces that are so personal that you're attached to, cry it out, and then create the character and act it. And it's created such a different atmosphere of safety, and also being able to get through the piece and really own it, but also knowing that from our true experiences, we have created characters, mm-hmm. and we've created these pieces, and the pieces don't intertwine with each other sort of in this like flow of an entire, of one solid show. They're nine separate scenes that interlock, and they support each other, and they hold each other up very much like the way we want to see our community doing. And it hasn't always been an easy process. The editing process is hard. Cutting our pieces down, because each of us could do an hour, yeah. you know, and it would be a marathon show. But that, you know, being able to cut the pieces down so that we could all be there together, I think is really important. And, you know, the three of us here, we're just a third of the cast, you know, definitely wanting to mention one of our castmates who's also the artistic director, Alicia Lueras Maldonado, Michelle Otero, Vali Rivera, Sylvia Sarmiento, Maria Teresa Herrera, you know,
Michelle Allred.
And Michelle Estrada Allred, who is the director of my piece, and I'm so sorry I blanked on you, Michelle. But, you know, these nine women, we've come together and written our own pieces. We're directing each other's pieces. This production is very much an organic, grassroots production, but definitely also being made possible with the support of the National Hispanic Cultural Center in partnership with Women in Creativity Month, and also, you know, very generous support of Las Mega Nenas, which is a collective of Latina actors and playwrights.
I'm glad she mentioned that, because that probably is the most important thing that I missed, is the community we built amongst each other, the nine women. Like, we all feel like we've come together a lot stronger. We have relationships and partnerships that we wouldn't have had outside of this. We had to build that safety net to be vulnerable on stage and to reveal truly who our characters were and what stories there were was painful at times. So we had to feel safe within that community. So I think we've built our own community. And then through that, we've been able to partner with all these other groups, the Mega Nenas, NHCC, and Women in Creativity. And then bigger than that, hopefully, it will just grow and grow.
So in what ways has the community supported the production of Hembras de Pluma?
How else has it?
Well, it costs money to put on a production, so we've had to fundraise, and we've done that very successfully. We raised all of the money we needed to pay for the production through our GoFundMe site in less than 45 days. Wow. That was important to us, to make sure that our production was professional and that the artists that we were working for were paid for their craft, and that their craft was compensated adequately. And so we're going to be able to do that, and we're really proud of that.
We've had a ton of generous media support. Thank you so much for having us on your show, and just the amazing production job that you all have done, and the care that you've taken in helping us get the word out. Mm-hmm. You know, Raices, we were on Espejos de Atzlan, we were on Voces Feministas. So KUNM definitely has been a huge supporter of this project and helping us get the word out. Siobhan Otero through you know, her media that she works with has really helped us out. You know, there's been a ton of people sharing this event on Facebook, yeah. and through other social media. I mean, so many of our friends and family, even though they know they're going to be in our pieces, they have really, you know, they've been rallying. And I have a bazillion sisters who are all coming to the show. And it's just... It's exciting. It's exciting to know that our friends and family are going to come and support us, mm-hmm. whether we've been on stage, you know, for years and years and years, or if this is our first time on stage. It just feels so special to be doing this production. And so we've had a ton of community support and people just spreading the word, buying tickets, which are already on sale. You know, it's just, it's, it's exciting every single time I get a text from someone. They say, I just bought my tickets. I'm so exciting. I'm bringing, you know, I'm bringing a date, or I'm bringing my mom. Yes, bring people. Bring your friends. Yeah. Bring a date. Find a date. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, I'm already excited. I just learned about this. I think it's pretty cool. Just even though I'm a guy, I feel like I'm definitely going to relate to some things. Maybe not personally, but my sister or my mom would. No.
You'll find something to
relate to. Yeah, I feel like I'll find something just off of what you guys have said. So I think that's pretty cool.
Get your ticket now. There's only 100 seats in the theater, and it's going to sell out. So we urge you to go to the NHCC website to get your tickets now. We open on Thursday, so there's not that many days left to get your ticket.
Yeah. And the website is www.nhccnm.org. You can also call the box office at 505-724-4771, and you can purchase tickets at the box office, but I would call ahead and make sure that they're open. So those are all ways in which people can buy tickets. The show opens Thursday, and that is the preview night, and so the tickets are a little bit less.
Okay.
And then Friday, Saturday shows are at 7:30 p.m. Sunday is at 2:30, and then the following weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as well. If you purchase tickets in a group of 10 or more, they do come at a discounted price.
Question.
So you can good. And you can find out all that information through the website or by calling the box office at NHCC.
Awesome. Or friend us on Facebook. It's Emeras de Pluma.
Yes. All right. Find the invitation and say that you're coming.
Well, thank you guys. Now we're going to go into a short break. We're going to play Black Roses from the group The Reminders.
In love, poetry and prose, blessed as it grows, through seasons it fights, black stars shine bright, give it love, give it knowledge, give it water, give it light from the sun and the moon, give it space, give it room, inshallah soon, the flower gone bloom, find the place in this world, find its own way, and when the flower weeps, pull it close to you and say, life gets rough, but you gotta stay tough, and remember this stuff, anytime you've had enough.
Next, we have a performance by Monica Rodriguez of Hembras de Pluma. Could you give us just a little backstory of your piece?
Sure, absolutely. For years, I've been telling my friends about how my mom calls me all the time. And without fail, because I'm an actress, I would break into this imitation of my mom. And no one believed me that this story she was telling me were really true, but they were. She's very, very funny. And she has an unusual way of speaking. And so when I put it to life, it takes on a life of its own. And so I take great pride in mimicking my mom, and in more ways than one, I'm starting to resemble her more and more.
Cool.
My mother has an unusual way of speaking. Well, it's unusual if you didn't grow up in northern New Mexico. And it's unusual if your first language is English. It's slow and drawn out, and all of the vowels sound the same. But this is the voice I hear every day, sometimes three times a day, but at least once a day without fail. My mother grew up in a family of eight children. She was the oldest daughter of a rancher and a homemaker. It was a small town and rural. My grandparents spoke English and Spanish, but Spanish was their first language, and so it was for my mom, too. And to hear her speak, you might be tempted to think that because she speaks with an accent, she thinks with an accent. You would be wrong. She is strong, smart, and educated. She has a bachelor's and master's of arts degree in elementary education and Spanish. She was a school teacher for over 35 years. As you can imagine, education has, was, and is the foundation of her and her children's and now grandchildren's lives. Monica moves to an executive boardroom where she sits down with two men dressed in drab gray suits. Monica's stark contrast in her colorful pantsuit. One of the executives begins to speak when Monica's phone begins to ring, notably loud and playing Latino music. The two gentlemen look in the direction of the ringing phone and glare. Monica fumbles for the phone in her oversized purse and silences it in a huff. Sorry, go ahead, Tim, please, finish. Tim clears his throat and stammers to continue, but before he can speak, Monica's phone begins to vibrate. He glares at Monica and says, "You better answer that. It sounds important." Monica gets up to answer her phone. She looks at the caller ID and rolls her eyes. Then she hesitantly answers the phone. "Hello? Hi, it's your mom."
Are you very busy? She started asking this question some years ago when I told her calling me at work interrupted what I was doing. She didn't stop calling. She just started asking the question. No, not very. Is there some sort of emergency or something? I just called to tell you one thing. I need to have the surgery. What? Surgery? Now? Why? I know. And yes, I do feel guilty about not answering my phone. But sometimes, I really am busy.
That was hilarious. Sorry, that was just really funny. That's pretty cool.
Being in studio this evening has been a true treasure. I learned the many different forms about strength of women of color.
I just really liked the depth. It feels like you guys are all coming from a genuine place, from a really genuine place, and I really enjoyed that. I thought that was really cool.
So how do you think your stories will impact the lives of your audience?
I mean, I hope they laugh. I mean, not all, some of the stories are a lot more serious and heavy, and want people to feel that too. I mean, I people are whole beings, and there's lots of emotions wrapped up in our stories. But I feel like, you know, if people come out, you know, feeling those things, which is both sort of sadness or anger or laughter or, you know, humor, that I will be happy for that. I mean, I will be happy to like hear people clap at the end. I would be lying if I wouldn't say that was important, because it means that people did feel it, that they did feel something. And, you know, I hope that's a good thing. And then I hope they say, hey, my friend needs to go see this. I need to tell my friends to go see it.
and you know, I think that we have a vision for this show, but there's also a vision that we get to share. And our poster for the show, the artwork is designed by Gigi Archibek, who is a native of Albuquerque. She's an artist, and she, just from hearing the way that our show was described, created this beautiful image of a woman with peacock feathers coming from her mouth, because, you know, hembra is feminine. It's woman, you know, it means all of these different, it has all these meanings. And then the pluma, which is a feather, but it also means the pen, you know, and so we're women of the pen. And so this beautiful piece that Gigi created just made everything very real, and it sort of encapsulated our vision. And you can see the image if you go to the Facebook invitation, and if you just type in hembras, it's HEMBRAS, so hembras de pluma. If you type that in, you can go to our page, and you can also see photos of the entire cast, mm-hmm. with little synopsis of each of our pieces, and get more information, you know, about the show. But just to see that beautiful artwork, it blew my mind when I saw it. I couldn't get over it.
Yeah, I mean, that idea that was captured there is that when we tell stories, we lift each other up, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's the lifting that we do with ourselves when we tell those stories, but it also lifts the other women up around us. And I think that's also our expectation for the audience. Like, mm-hmm. we want these stories to lift people up. And so, you know, when I first saw that image, I was like, oh, that's it. Like, she got it. Like, that was it. You know, and the idea that, like, you know, we struggle through things. People struggle through things. Women struggle through things. And we have to, like, use that story and humor and tears to lift each other up and move forward.
And I think that's what art or arte is all about, is being able to say, this is who I am. Are you that way too? Mm. And not feel alone. So you see that in a book. We like a book because we can relate to that character. We like a piece of art because it reminds us of an experience we've had. And it's the same way with theater. It's a way to connect with other people and say, here I am, and am I not alone? And so I think we do that really beautiful through all the different layers. We've been able to bring in the visual arts with Gigi's beautiful piece. We have music in our piece. We have dance. We touch on just about every art form you can think of. So really cool. There's something there for everyone. Mm-hmm.
And in that, you know, in talking about our audience, these pieces, you know, are even the really funny ones have these really poignant moments, and the really heavy ones have these really funny moments. But it is worth it to know that the themes are mature that we're dealing with. And so, you know, definitely audience discretion is advised, especially mm-hmm. we've been asked, you know, oh, you know, can I bring my child to this? And, you know, we definitely have not censored any of the pieces or the themes. And so while every single piece, in my opinion, is extremely honest and mm-hmm. and still very, you know, tasteful and beautifully done, it is, you know, all of the themes are meant for mature audiences.
Right. I was just wondering, since everybody likes different pieces and different parts of the theater, what are y'all favorites? Like, what are the favorites that you love about the theater, about the production?
This is Benishi. It's hard to say, you know. I mean, it's hard to say because not only do I, like, can relate to each of them individually. Uh-huh. I've also, like, as the process we went through, like, helped create, mm-hmm. you know, feed those pieces and mm-hmm. help those pieces grow. Right? You know, so because amazing. People wrote them and then they said, I need you to give me feedback. I need to know what you think about this. What about this? What? And, you know, there's things that live in each of those pieces that I feel proud that I'm like, I gave my little 2 cent mm-hmm. contribution. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I live in there too. So it's hard to say. I mean, there's definitely some that make me cry and some that make me laugh. I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to be too neutral, but that's it is hard. It's hard yeah. because there's so much that lives in each of those pieces that I can relate to.
Right. And I think that is such an important thing that Benishi said. This is Monica speaking. All of the pieces are so different, but we were able to create a space that was safe for everyone to tell their stories that they wanted to tell. And there's no theme, but when you come to see the show, it all plays out in sequence in the way it should play out. There's not, we couldn't say there is one overriding theme to the whole show. It really just about our own stories, our own personal stories. And so with that, we kind of wove it all together and give you one piece. It's not 9 pieces, it's one piece.
Mm-hmm. 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 And, you know, for me, what's been really fun, even though it can be long, is rehearsal. Mm-hmm. I love watching everyone's pieces, and I love watching how they've progressed and watching people get off book and memorize their lines, and it just adds a whole new element. And we have, you know, this amazing tech support over at the Hispanic Cultural Center. Pepe, shout out to Pepe.
Pepe.
Pepe. Who's an hembra. He wanted to call himself an embro, and he's not. He's an hembra. but, you know, also, you know, the crew at NHCC, the ticket office at NHCC, they've been extremely helpful. You know, having that, you know, having rehearsal space as much as we have, and being able to use the theater every night. And I'm lucky I live literally 1 minute away from the NHCC, but it still has become the second home. And, you know, after the show, we're going to have a little bit of that, like, last day of school, where you miss seeing everybody all the time. But it also feels like, we, you know, it's just we're this solid little crew, you know, the hembras.
And this is just the first version. A lot of us had a hard time cutting our pieces down because we wanted to be fair that each piece got its 10 minutes of time on stage. And so we keep saying, this is just the first one. Mm-hmm. You know, this is just mm-hmm. one part
that's,
of another
that's
show.
That's good. I'm so excited to hear what you just said. That this is just the first one. That means yeah. more. It's going to progress.
Okay. Oh, we have stories. Don't you worry.
All right. So I hope that you are all ready for the next performance by Andrea Serrano from Hembras de Pluma, because here it is.
So I want to just give it a little bit of a setup. My piece is called A History Written in Black Liquid Eyeliner. And it is about my memories of my mom and my sisters. And so I'm the youngest of 6 daughters, no brothers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people always say, oh, your poor dad. And no, my dad had it pretty easy. It was my mom who dealt with us yeah. and all the things that came with 6 very dynamic and different daughters. And when you're the youngest, you just sort of have this experience with your family. And so I tell this story through the lens of makeup. And so this piece, the little piece I'm going to read for you is called 13. I learned to put on makeup on a bumpy school bus. Unbeknownst to my mom, I used my 13th birthday money to buy a CoverGirl, pressed powder compact, and Great Lash mascara. I washed my face every day after school. Smelly green soap and rough paper towels wreaked havoc on my young skin. I was a master at hiding my habit. Until the day I forgot to wash my face. Later that night, my raccoon eyes were a dead giveaway. My mom looked at me and asked, "Are you wearing makeup?" "No," I lied. "You're too young for makeup. Go wash your face." I reapplied the next day, and I never forgot to wash my face again.
I could definitely relate to that. That's for sure. You've all been so amazing, and I feel blessed to be in this studio. I feel like I've learned a lot through your stories and somehow related to your stories. And
yeah, I think your performances were amazing. Mind-blowing. I just feel like everybody was really genuine. And obviously everybody has different backgrounds and different perspectives, so it's really cool that everybody brought it out in such a special way.
We think you guys are amazing. You're a Generation you. Justice, so... The feeling is mutual.
Yeah, so I just want to thank you, your presence and your perspective, and really a lot of luck with your upcoming performances.
So is there any final remarks? We'll start with you, Benishi.
You know, the sort of part around community support also goes forward, right? So, you know, the biggest show of community support is showing up at the production, so we hope to see you guys all there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the tickets are available. People can get them now. It is a small space, so I would definitely jump on getting those tickets because it will get sold out. I mean, just with family alone, we might sell out a few nights, so we'll see. But it's an exciting project, and I hope this is an inspiration for other people in the community to start creating stories and creating spaces to have those stories be out there.
I saw this saying once just in passing, and it was nothing about us without us.
Mm.
And I think that encapsulates this show so perfectly. Benishi is not kidding that this show will sell out. Do not wait till you show up to buy your tickets. Buy them ahead of time. The theater only seats about 95 people, and there's 7 showings. So if you can't come one night, there's plenty of other nights to come and see it. But after the 2 weekends now in March, we won't be showing it again, at least for a while. So definitely come on out, see Hembras de Pluma, get your tickets early, and, you know, support community theater and support Absolutely. Community members and the stories and the lives of women, you know, especially women of color. A lot of times we don't get to tell our own stories, and the fact that we get to in this amazing piece, you know, don't miss it. It's for everybody.
The community support has been phenomenal. We've had so many people play a part in putting this piece together. And so thank you to all of them. But we still need to fill seats. So please come out, get your tickets. We want people to see what we've been working so hard on. But mostly I want to thank the fellow contributing artists that we work with. They have all been amazing and just have talents in their own right. It's Michelle Estrada Alred, Vali Rivera, Michelle Otero, Maria Teresa Herrera, Sylvia Sarmiento, Benishi Albert, Andrea J. Serrano, Alicia Lueras Maldonado, and myself, Monica T. Rodriguez. Thank you to all of them. They have all made this possible. Each of their talents and each of their individualism make this piece what it is.
Can you guys remind us again of when your performance will take place?
Sure. There's a preview night, March 20th at 7:30 p.m., and then the show runs Friday the 21st, Saturday the 22nd at 7:30 p.m., Sunday the 23rd at 2:30, and then the following weekend, Friday the 28th, Saturday the 29th at 7:30, Sunday the 30th at 2:30. Tickets are available for all of those shows. The preview night is a discounted ticket. It's full price all the other showings, but if you do take a group of 10 or more, you can receive a discounted price as well. And the NHCC can answer all your questions about the price of the show and buying tickets. And you can, you know, buy your tickets online, over the phone, pick them up that night. So, and make a night of it. Pick up some friends, go to dinner, and come on out to see Hembras de Pluma.
Awesome. I will definitely see all of you on stage performing your full pieces because I'm really intrigued now to hear the whole thing. Now we have another break, and we have a song from Voces Unidas por Chile titled Gracias a la Vida.
La risa y llantos, gracias a la vida que nos une en este canto.
Again, Benishi, Monica, and Andrea for being here tonight and telling or giving us a preview of your stories. And
me too. Also, want to thank you for being here, giving us your time, and just sharing your stories with us.
We had great fun being here tonight, and we thank you for having us here. And I just want to put another shout out to also a thank you to our families who put up with us going through lots of rehearsals every day practically. And so that's also our community support, is the family support, and glad to be here. And you guys, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for giving us this forum as part of the community we're trying to build, and we really appreciate it. Thank you. And thank you to my mom and to my son Michael for not having dinner every night with me.
And, you know, definitely thank you to all of the Hembras and everyone who's working so hard to put this show on. Thank you to you all here at Generation Justice for being so generous, giving us an entire hour to talk about Hembras de Pluma. It's definitely a labor of love. And so thank you for letting us share our love with all of you. Mm-hmm. And again, yeah, just to reiterate, thank you to our family and our community who's making this happen.
Awesome. Thanks for being here.
Well, there sure is a lot going on in the community this month.
So we're going to hear about all that stuff. Thanks to Asia and Adele. Here they are with the calendar.
Hello, everyone. I'm Asia Lujan.
And I'm Nadal Jawad, and welcome to the wonderful world of calendar.
We have many activities to talk about tonight. Shall we get started?
Oh, yeah. As always, this is our chance to show our community and partners some love by promoting their fantastic events.
First up, we have Teaching as a Creative Act, which is part of Women and Creativity. Not many people think of teaching as a form of creativity.
You're right, Asia. This discussion will focus on the importance of creativity, imagination, and possibility in teaching. It will take place on March 20th.
At what time, Nadal?
This discussion will start at 4:30 and will end at 6:30.
It will take place at Bosquez School on 4000 Learning Road Northwest, and you can contact them at 505-898-6388.
Or you can visit their website at www.bosquezschool.org.
Creativity is in the air. Our next event is Being a Woman is Revolutionary Art Exhibit.
This exhibit is celebrating our abuelitos, mothers, comadres, y familia through multimedia forms of storytelling.
You can visit the art exhibit at El Chante La Casa de Cultura on 804 Park Avenue Southwest. If you get lost or don't know the directions, you can contact them at 505-400-3635.
This art installation will feature New Mexican artists and will continue till April 27th. It will be open on Sundays through Wednesdays from 12:30 to 6:30 p.m.
And if you're not available on these days, it is open on Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 4:30 p.m.
Sounds fascinating. So, Asia, do you like horses?
I actually do like horses.
Well then, you can attend an event celebrating the art exhibit, Arte en la Charrería, which highlights Mexican equestrian culture.
Nidal, did you know that there will be an all-female mariachi band performing at the celebration?
I didn't, but I can't wait to get my groove on.
Well, remember Nidal, it will be on Thursday, March 20th from 5 to 8:30.
Sounds like a fun event.
It will be held at the Albuquerque Museum.
Where's that again?
It is at 2000 Mountain Road Northwest.
Another random question. Asia, do you like festivals?
I love festivals, Night Out. What is it for?
The festival will celebrate the 21st annual Cesar Chavez Day on Saturday, March 29th and 12 p.m. and will end at 3.
There will be a march that begins and ends at the National Hispanic Cultural Center on 4th Street and Bridge Boulevard Southwest. It will include food, live art, and a kids' corner.
Will there be music, Asia? You know I want to get my groove on.
There will actually be a concert by Malamana and Reviva.
I just might start dancing right now.
With all that dance night out, you will get hungry. But don't worry, the Southwest Organizing Project is hosting a dinner and discussion entitled, What's Wrong with WIP?
The discussion will be on the will be with Don Hancock, who's an expert on nuclear waste issues.
This is to inform citizens about issues at the Carlsbad Waste Isolation Pilot Program, which recently had an underground fire and a detected radiation leak.
This discussion will take place at SWAP at 211 10th Street, Southwest off Gold Street. It will be held on Tuesday, March 18th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m.
If you have any questions, you can contact Don Hancock at 505-262-1862.
Now back to some Women in Creativity organized events. Hembras de Pluma is a play filmed with 9 monologues written by New Mexican women.
This play sounds motivating. It will be at the Wells Fargo Auditorium in the National Hispanic Cultural Center.
The performance will be on March 20th through 23rd and 28th through the 30th. Right, Asia?
Yep, it will. Night Out, do you remember what time the show will be?
The Thursday, Friday, and Saturday showtimes start at 7:30 p.m. The Sunday matinee will start at 2 p.m.
Sounds like a really interesting play. Well, thank you for listening to the calendar. I'm Asia Lujan.
And I'm Najal Jawad. Have a good night.
Now back to our host.
Peace.
Sadly, we've come to the end of our show. We want to give a huge thanks to everyone who made this show possible.
We want to thank Benicia Albert, Monica Rodriguez, and Andrea Serrano from Hembras de Pluma for coming in and sharing their passionate stories with us. You are all my sheroes.
We'd also like to thank our calendar hosts, Asia and Nadal, for their amazing report.
This show was produced by Roberto Rael, Melissa Harris, Rashad Muhammad, and Jason Fuller. Polly Dittenclaw and Comrade Umi were our engineers tonight.
Thank you to all of our youth media makers here at Generation Justice. Without you all, we would be incomplete.
Stay connected with us. Check out our website, generationjustice.org, where you can listen to our past shows, see our music playlist, and watch our videos.
You can also see the music playlist on KUNM.org by searching for Generation Justice.
We're also active on social media, so please like us on Facebook by searching for Generation Justice and follow us on Twitter at Gen Justice.
Tweet, tweet. Generation Justice is funded by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation with additional funding from the McCune Foundation. And of course, all of you who have contributed to our project by visiting our website and clicking donate.
We are now recruiting for more Generation Justice members. If you are interested in multimedia and journalism, or if you want to use media to make a difference.
If so, then you should definitely check out Generation Justice. Go on our website, generationjustice.org, and download an application today. Thank you again for listening.
I'm Omar Torres.
And I'm Bayan Jabber.
We'll close with a couple of songs and then spoken word.
See you all next week.